possible. Finally, though, we have a report by SPGB on the classroom renovations, and that is the last part of the executive committee report.
We have today with us Tom Gates and Jim Butts. They're the architects working on the classroom remodelization project, and they have a number of facts and figures about what's going on in the project, plus they have some what I believe to be real nice drawings of projects that we're doing. And so I turn the floor over to them.
Good afternoon, everyone. University selected us about this time last year, and we started planning work last March. And we came here last April to give you an update of the planning as it stood at that time. Since then, tremendous progress has been made, and we'd like to take about 10 minutes and kind of capture the process and the progress that's been made, as well as share some of the designs that's being developed for you. Our consulting team is comprised of a number of firms that all have expertise in higher education. Recently, we added an acoustical consultant because we're starting to get into some larger lecture halls and auditorium, and we thought it was prudent to make sure that we had really good acoustics in those rooms. We've been guided throughout the process by a university steering committee that's been consistent and has, quite frankly, been great to work with. Represent a broad range of advocacies, including planning, engineering, curriculum, instructions, the Center for Teaching and Learning, instructional technology, and of course, Faculty Senate and Buildings and Grounds Committee. So it's vitally important, I think, in rooms that are so important to an institution that they have to function well, they have to be comfortable, be inviting. It has to go beyond just a pretty facelift to the building. These got to be high-performance rooms, and I think the steering committee has done an excellent job really helping us navigate the decisions where sometimes things may kind of be at odds with each other. Along the lines, the steering committee has recognized that there have been other stakeholders that we need to engage. The provost in particular has been hugely important to us as we look at trying to create spacious rooms, very comfortable rooms to be in, but we also have to balance that out with, you need a minimum number of seats for these different rooms serving different colleges. So there's that compromise, that middle ground that Mary's been tremendous at. Chris Roberts from the Center of Teaching and Learning has taken on the evaluation of the prototype classrooms. That was really our first package that was designed and constructed over the summer, and they've been used fall semester. And throughout the fall, Chris has been engaging the faculty and students and evaluating a number of different things. And I'll get more into that in a moment. And, of course, Tom Webb and Ron Hamilton from the university have been tremendous, giving us advice, reviewing our designs, and keeping us on the straight and narrow. We had talked last April about the engagement process, really wanting to engage a broad range of your stakeholders. Most of that was done through last fall. That informed that prototype pair of classrooms, and we've really been in that prototype evaluation process this fall. What we've done is we've looked at the entire classroom pool, which is 140 rooms, just a big, massive number of classrooms, and trying to prioritize the investment to get the biggest bang for the buck for the university. And what we've been doing is trying to focus in on the one and two rated rooms, the lowest quality rooms in that process. And as we do that, we've been looking at all the different systems and components that make a classroom up and trying to figure out, not only can we do something to a room, but is it a wise investment? Is it actually enhancing teaching and learning in the classroom? So that's where Chris Roberts has really come in for us. As we've looked at those priorities and looked at how we could spend $5.5 million, we've taken a look at about 40 to 42 of the lowest rated rooms in that pool of 140, and doing a heavy focus on that. They're primarily the larger of the rooms, where so far we've stayed away from about eight small seminar type rooms. They're the older rooms. They haven't really been improved all that much, and a lot of their instructional technology has been outdated. And we've taken a look at those rooms. We've divided them into four packages. Package one is the prototype. It was just the first two rooms. We wanted to make sure that we were going down a good path before we started on the bigger packages. Number two was bid and last fall, here just very recently, and it's going to start construction in January. So in a couple of short weeks, we're going to actually start construction. The big project in that is Ullman, the first floor, that long tunnel-like lecture hall. We're going to actually break that up into three different classrooms, and Tom will show you what that is. And then we're also doing a facelift and some improvements to Faucet 101. So two big lecture halls. Again, a lot of contact hours trying to make as big an impact as quickly as possible. Package number three is really the big, big gorilla package of the project. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But it's primarily all the classrooms, those 40 to 70 seat type classrooms. And we're going to be bidding that here starting in about a month, and we'll start construction late spring. And the completion of those rooms will vary over the summer and into next fall. We're holding off on package number four right now simply because we want to make sure our bids come in. So far, the first two packages have bid in under our estimates. We want to make sure we know what the final bids are for package number three so we know how much money we can actually invest in the remaining rooms. From there, then, we'll finish scoping out the work and start design on that this spring. Our objectives, as I said, is always to invest in the right rooms. We want to look at all the different aspects of good classroom design, and primarily the heaviest focus is what makes a really great learning environment. That's been driving us. So when we're all done with these four packages, all the classrooms will comply with code. They'll all be handicap accessible, no matter what their grade level was. We're repurposing Ullman. We're improving the 1 and 2 rated rooms. And then there are some 3 and 4 rated rooms that have that old sled-based desk furniture that really nobody likes. So we'll be replacing that furniture as well. And then we are making some other improvements to 1 and 2 rated rooms that are more focused on college-specific curriculum. So the first three packages essentially are achieving those priorities. And then package four, we'll look at continuing those improvements and hopefully doing as much as we possibly can. The two prototype classrooms, we did one in Russ, we did one in Ullman Hall. What we want to do is look at a number of different things. As you can see on the projection screen, everything from most basic layout to how faculty and students interact to the products and the aesthetics of what the room is. We've gotten initial feedback. We did a kickoff meeting with faculty to orient them. We did a session halfway through that we collected surveys, and we had a focus group discussion. And then about 2 weeks ago, we had an open house. So we've gotten feedback, and we've incorporated that into package three. Some of the things we thought would be great turned out to be really not great at all. Glass marker boards, you know, it's a relatively new product that's out there that seemed like it was going to be a great product. In the end, nobody likes them, surprisingly, not in a classroom setting anyway. So we shied away from them. We can then take that money that we would have spent on that, and we're putting it elsewhere, as an example. On the other hand, we found a product that was brand new to the market last spring that we can actually distribute power under carpet, and we don't have to pay to chisel that concrete and do all that repair work. And we can run power just about in any finished room, and it can be retrofitted at any point in the future. And it turned out to be a huge success and a very cost-effective solution. So there's two examples, I think, of what we've learned. At Ullman Hall 135, it's a long, narrow room. Primarily, we wanted to look at how could we make it more spacious and how could we deal with the proportions and having dual projection. Slide's a bit hard to read, but we replaced the tables, went more to a chevron shape, and we lined the perimeter with marker boards. So the overall aesthetics of the room doesn't look all that much different. The point of this prototype was to do targeted strategic improvements to the room. We learned that the dual projection does indeed work well. making the tables a bit smaller and a different configuration. The spaciousness was well received, and maximizing marker board was very well received as well. Russ Engineering, it was an old classroom that had the old fixed tables, fixed chairs, very uncomfortable for everybody, and it was very lecture-based. So what we wanted to do was to add a new room to the classroom pool that complemented what you have. You have a lot of lecture-based classrooms. A lot of them are just fantastic rooms to teach in. You have lecture halls. You have the bigger scale-up rooms that we see in the new classroom buildings. What we wanted to do was come in and create something that was active learning, that the students could work in teams, but still not force faculty into a different pedagogy. They could still lecture if they wanted to, or they could go more active with their students and allow them to evolve over time. So what we did is we introduced a series of D-shaped tables so students face each other, and they can also turn and face the front teaching wall. There's a number of different details. We really tested the instructional technology package that's the new standard for classrooms. And just a number of big successes came out of this that's really fueling package three. And again, a few things we learned how we could do better. But I think this is a nice complement to your pool. The thing I think we were struggling with is that balance of space and number of seats and the active learning, you know, that style of teaching and learning, we're somewhat constrained by the existing classrooms, the four walls. We're really not moving walls and doors because we would lose the number of rooms that we could impact. I think the thing that these D-shaped rooms will do is allow you to test those out. And as you develop new classrooms, new buildings, as the university grows, it's something that you can really design the room around that style, and you can perfect this here over the next couple of years. And I think the impact may not be felt for a couple of years. Interestingly, the thing I'm really excited about is one of the faculty at the orientation said, "I shouldn't be in here. This is not my teaching style." About 6 weeks later, she came in for the focus group meeting and said, "I don't ever want to teach in another room other than this." I mean, that's tremendous that kind of change can occur that quickly.
I'll quickly take you through some highlights in packages two and three that Jim mentioned. Package two, the highlight being the renovation of Ullman 112. There you see the existing space. Again, a little cavernous, underutilized, and actually Jim and I in the Building and Grounds Committee said, "Well, can we cut it up into a couple different classrooms?" We're like, "Well, sure we can. We'll give that a shot." And that's what we did. Basically, we're putting in a floor in that space, and basically the lower level portion that's flat with the first couple rows of tiers we're utilizing, getting a 49-seat classroom out of that. So traditional lecture in a more intimate setting, a little more usable. And then on the upper floor, we're putting in new flooring, creating a similar classroom to Russ 150 on the right. And then on the left, a low-slope classroom, which similar to a large lecture space in the Student Success Center. So if you can imagine, those two spaces are on a more intimate scale here. So again, taking one underutilized lecture space and creating what we hope are three really highly utilized and desired spaces for faculty use in the future. And these are just a couple of shots. This is the classroom space on the lower level, and that is the large lecture space on the upper level, and then the space with the D shapes. And you can see we're trying to create a space that's warm, inviting, memorable, focuses on the teaching wall, and again creates a better overall teaching and learning experience. Package three, those are some of the highlights of what that package is going to include. So again, following in suit with those priorities that Jim went over earlier and coming up with the scope of work that you see here. Again, a few highlights we'll just run through here real quick. We've got three sets of combination rooms we're calling, where we're taking two smaller rooms, taking the wall out between them, and then creating a highly desirable 40 to 60 seat classroom. This one's in faucet 204-206. We're getting about, I think this one actually has about 72 seats with a dual screen projection system with the D-shaped tables and power to the tables. In 210-218 in Fawcett, we're actually creating a traditional active learning space. So in this one, we're putting laptop computers at the D-shaped tables with multiple projection around the room and multiple marking surfaces. Again, similar to some of those that you have over at the Student Success Center, but again, on a smaller scale here. And then one more at Russ, 153, 155. Couple of marquee spaces that we're looking at, some of the tiered lecture spaces in renovating, one being in Ullman 340. Just kind of a poor configuration, poor lighting. What can we do to improve it? What we want to do is, what we're doing is rotating that teaching wall, taking out the tiered seating, and then putting marker board and projection in a more of a symmetrical along that exterior wall. Using the furniture actually to create the tier, so between seating and barstool height on back to the back rows, and then making it more flexible with movable seating. And finally, Creative Arts M252, basically in need of a major facelift, new seating, and just overall aesthetics in the space. What we propose to do is create a more of a theater-like space that still has dual use of showing movie projection as well as general lecture. So new seats, putting a ceiling in there, giving it some articulation, accent lighting, and then some curtains to frame the teaching wall as well as the movie projection screen. So just a flavor of some of the spaces that you'll be seeing come online here sometime next year. And that's where we're at. So our next steps is we're going to get that package 2 constructed here by the summer. We're going to get the bid documents pulled together and out to bid for that large package 3. And then sometime next fall, we'll come together with the committee, see what's left with the money, and scope out the rest of the work on package 4. So with that, we'll take any questions that you have.
At times, we're told not to offer classes if we can help it on Tuesdays and Thursdays because we're overloaded. What happens when you take 25 classrooms and renovate them across, I think it was a summer plus 2 semesters?
Well, one of the ideas is we're actually using that Ullman 112 space as swing space, so that's going to be ready in the summertime so that we'll be able to schedule those classrooms that wouldn't have been otherwise been able to be using that large lecture space for some of the swing space. We're also splitting the work between the two summer sessions, so there's some quick hitting work that we can do in like 4 to 6 weeks to get it done in summer A so they're ready for summer B and vice versa. And granted, a bulk of the work, the heavy lifting work, will be done through the full summer, and a lot of them, quite frankly, are in Creative Arts, which is already going to be closed down for the summer. So you probably won't see much of an impact on that side, as much as you think when you think of 25. I think we're working with the with the registrar's office to minimize that impact.
Are there other questions? Oh, Senator.
I love the way your firm has put prototypes out there and sought feedback and listened to the feedback and then adjusted in real time your plan and moving forward. So it's a model of the way to do things correctly, I think, with faculty input. And so thank you, gentlemen. Nicely done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, the whole idea of being forced into a classroom to teach in a way I'm not used to would put me under a lot of stress. And quite frankly, with all of our projects, we always find that some great, terrific ideas come from faculty and students. So yeah, it's been a very collaborative effort and very positive, very enjoyable.
Thank you. Any other?
Thank you.
Okay. Great.